Hi, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in tech, all the big stories that have gone on that are not Apple, and all the things that you can talk about that are really, really fun to do. And Muller's stolen my cool thing, and he's not going before me tonight because otherwise he's in deep trouble. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, downloading porn on line two, it's Carrie Holswell. I've restarted that line, so it's definitely not me. How you doing, dude?
Hey, how are you? Yeah, it seems a little...
You look like a David Hockney painting.
I think that's an improvement for me.
That's it. As soon as we start, it's like, oh dear, that's gone wrong then.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. That's very strange.
It's got to be me then. It's not you. So it's obviously my fault. How you been, mate? We haven't seen you in ages.
I've been great. How have you been?
All right, mate.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back. You know, I always love doing the show with you.
Oh, mate, you and me have got history.
Oh, we've got some history, all right.
You and me against the world at 3 a.m. in the
basically,
UK.
Basically, what he just said is we're both really old. Yes, that's true.
No, we go back to Computer America, and we sat there, and we entertained people in the early hours of America, which was in the incredibly unpleasantly early hours of the UK.
Actually, it was the late hours, about 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern time in America.
So I did 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. with you, mate. So you owe me big time.
That absolutely. That's one hell of a commitment to agree to come on a show free and have to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do it.
My only regret was letting Sarah Gray taught me into staying awake all night rather than going to bed and getting a couple of hours kip. And then
that's not my problem. I got nothing to do with that.
After beer as well, which was not good. So,
but we did do good shows. It was totally worth it.
It was her and Kyle Swagger kept me awake all sodding night. Cards are marked. Next to him, it's Big Chris Ashley. Dude, how you doing, man?
What up, what up, what up, what up? Man, I haven't done my own show in 3 weeks because everybody's been on vacation. But, man, I'm out here making the rounds.
You can't miss the British Tech Network, mate. Not at all.
No, I couldn't miss it. I couldn't miss it. I was hanging with the fellas over at DTNS, and I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and shore up this little three-week hiatus by hanging with my homies across the pond.
So, big question.
Yep.
Preseason training started. Chances for the Redskins? Zero.
For what? Playoffs or Super Bowl?
No, I thought they were going to play knuckleball or something like that. Maybe they've got more chance of winning they got more chance of winning the Stanley Cup than they have winning the.
I don't know if they're the team to take the Super Bowl, but I don't see why they wouldn't have another strong showing at least to get to the playoffs. Because you know, Dallas made some moves, but nothing exciting. Philly and the Giants, so they stand a chance to win the division. I'm not 100% sold on our quarterback, but you know, at least we know he can go to the playoffs. So
we'll talk to you in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry about that. And last but by no means least, we've got the two reprobates in the studio that have joined us this week. We got Martin Kelly from the London Mac User Group.
Oh, good evening, all.
You know, there's about 20 meters of cable there.
Yeah, we're trying to. Yeah, no. Looking a bit daft. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Yes, good evening, Ian. Nice to be up here twice in 1 week.
Now you're here for the bash, and now you're back for the big show because you're working in Birmingham. Last week you were stuffed because you were sent to Bedford or Brighton or something, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, thankfully you rang me up to say, well, for the curry. So otherwise I would slip it out. So, but brilliant weekend and nice to be up here again this weekend.
Well, you got free curry tonight, so
yeah, thank you very much.
Muller,
hello, mate.
How the devil are you?
I'm fine, mate.
Excellent. We've got video of you chasing the kids around, looking like a right old. With a camera, a camera on your shoulder.
Predator.
The bash.
Literally.
Predator. The wrong kind of predator. Jesus. The bash was great, wasn't it, boys?
Yeah, and don't forget his little pink hat.
Oh, and he's got his picture with his pink hat as well. We need to show that before the show, though.
That was my sort of step-granddaughter.
Step-granddaughter, is there such a thing?
I don't know.
You're just desperate for a relationship with a small child.
I just don't know what her exact relationship is.
Moving on very, very swiftly.
An adult won the World Cup. Oh, yeah, where?
That was it. That was the big time.
So Hillary's taken the nomination. Oh, I'm not doing a political story because Andy Anatko took that during the match there and it went on for a lot longer than I thought it was going to. It was a throwaway line I got a joke wired up for. In the world of tech, though, there's been an awful lot going on this week. Marissa has said that it's not her fault that Yahoo's been bought and it's going down the tubes. Did she push or was she jumped? No, that's the wrong word. Sorry, my mistake. But what's your story, boys? Come on, who's got a story that they want to throw before us and say, this is the big tech story of the week?
I've got one.
Oh, go on then, Muller.
I think it's
I wasn't
one
expecting that.
Amazon drones in the UK. Ah, oh, that was yours.
I was going to say.
So
we'll work as
a, it's a joint story, right? Got you.
It's a joint story.
So this is Amazon have allegedly worked with, in inverted commas, the UK. But the thing that was interesting on the story was everyone said, oh, UK drones are coming to the UK in 2017. And it's not what it said at all. It's that they've agreed that there is a partnership with the UK government. And the UK government has still got to get past the Civil Aviation Authority, who they don't control.
I can't see it happening personally. I mean, there's so many problems with it. I've seen some of the BBC reports, which are ridiculous, like people holding out a net and catching your stuff. But that's not the problem. It's the fact it's flying over your house and over other people's houses, near roads and near where people are, and it's just fraught with danger.
Even if you're licensed commercially, you're not allowed to fly over a public highway at the moment.
Well, what if it does fall out of the sky and hurt someone? Amazon could be liable for millions. I mean, I don't see
this ever happening.
No, me.
I really don't. And it's, the problem is that I think the other thing as well is when you look at airports, there's a cone of access. So there's like a cone that comes out from the end of the runway where you're not even allowed to fly any drones anytime, ever, under any circumstances.
Well, I live near the airport and so do you.
Yep. I'm in that cone.
Are you?
Yeah, this is, we're in that code.
No more free deliveries. No more Amazon Prime.
There's
free.
Not going to be free
it's
deliveries.
Not going to anything at all.
No. I mean, what's the FAA situation in the US with those? Because again, in the UK, they're an absolute no-no. I can't ever see them being accepted.
Of late, they've been trying to get people to start looking at it a little bit harder. But it's pretty much the same thing. You have your areas where they can't fly. They can't fly a certain height. So there are rules around it, but it has kind of been kind of an open thing for now. But more and more people are starting to look at it. But there definitely have plenty of people who are already annoyed by drones. Folks that looking to make EMP guns to take them out. People looking to shoot them out of the sky. So it's definitely more than just the safety of it. It's with all the spying that's going on. In the world, who's going to start looking at these things and not be a little bit suspicious of what this drone's actual intent is?
Flying over my property.
Wasn't there an American that shot one out the sky with a shotgun and got
Kentucky,
and he got into a bit of trouble?
He did, because it was criminal damage, because you don't own the airspace above your building. Everyone thinks that they own from their
ground
house
zero
to the next planet, and you don't. I think you've got a right to access above about 10 feet above your house, and that's it.
Well, it wasn't just that. I mean, he blew it out like it's kind of stamped on it or something. So.
Yeah, no. There's going to be people in Birmingham doing that, let alone someone in America doing it where there's a free gun law, so...
I watched a crazy video on YouTube where this lady was walking and these guys were flying their drones, and she became so annoyed, like the drone got slightly out of range and it kind of dropped next to her, and she picked up the drone and shoved it in her, I guess she was wearing sweatpants or shirt, whatever, and she tried to steal the guy's drone. And then
she called the cops.
He called the cops, but he approached her, she started screaming and acting like he had hit her and like the drone had hit her. And the good thing was that he had the whole thing on tape, and she ended up getting arrested. But man, it's just, you have that with just a couple of kids, flying their drones in a public space. What's going to happen when people know that? This is some big company's drone. Let's just go ahead and try to grab hold of this thing. There's no way this is going to work.
Well, I mean, there's got to be prop guards on it for a start, for sure. And they're talking about the fact that they're going to have illuminated propellers that will flash warnings when it's about to land. I've got a scar here on my arm. I don't know if you can see that. There we go. Yeah, you can pocket it. So that is from a drone that took off on a table that was setting up. I didn't realise it was powered up, and it all of a sudden leapt at me. And I've got one there. I've got one on this arm that's higher up my shoulder here, and I've got one on my back as well, where the blade came over and it swung round. I didn't get anything on my face, luckily, because I'm a handsome man. And they left permanent scars. They are never going anywhere, and it hurt, and it bled like a stuck pig for a while. So, these things are not insignificant, and if Amazon are really going to fly them, the bars they've got to jump over to prove absolute stability and absolute certainty, using, you know, the analogy that Muller's talking about, is immense.
Well,
I can't see it ever happening.
But you and you fly these. What would it size would it be to lift something like a 2 kilo payload?
Well, you see now that your weight ratios are all based about your battery life as well. Yeah. So,
and if it's going to deliver to say what 10 miles?
Yeah, and if things talking about flying 10 miles, that's
a big drone.
Well, at the moment, there's no autonomous rules in the UK at all. So,
and of course, then there's the whole issue of security. If you have all these drones flying around, who's going to say one won't become a terrorist threat?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do that already.
If you can deliver a DVD, you can deliver a small bomb.
Well, let's talk about the practicality of this. And this is really I don't even know why this is, the media even airs this story, because we know this isn't going to happen. Jeff Bezos is a very smart guy. I really admire his business acumen, and he's just a genius in the way that he's able to sustain Amazon and will continue to sustain it through a publicly shared company. Traditionally, with a publicly shared company, you just answer to your shareholders. And what happens is you get really, really big as more and more investors put more money in as the company gets bigger, and then it pops like a balloon and it goes away. Or it significantly diminishes its size, like Motorola, IBM, even Intel. So what Bezos is doing is quite genius. It's kind of a Warren Buffett thing where he takes all the profits from the company, puts it back in the company, and he'll always do that for the life of Amazon. Amazon will never show a profit. It will always take all the profit, put it right back into Amazon and expand their offerings. And my prediction is, first of all, with regard to drones, a drone only delivers one package at a time. The reason you see trucks delivering the mail is because of the capacity of what they can hold. That's issue number one. Issue number two, of course, the theft, the weather. There's a lot of factors. Souvenirs, people want to keep it just to have it. Just look what I got, just like they take road signs. That's just not going to work. It's not practical. It's not cost effective. But what I do see potentially happening here in the U.S. is our post office has had all kinds of money issues for decades. I could foresee Amazon contracting out to replace the post office, maybe even take over our post offices, since Amazon's one of the post office's main sources of income, to do the post office's job better than the post office can do it for less money and make it part of Amazon using the existing infrastructure, and have the government outsource that, similar to what they're doing with the space program. Let an outside contractor take care of it because they can do it more effectively, more efficiently, and cheaper. That's why I think Amazon's going. I think this whole drone thing is just it's a non-starter. I think it's a distraction. It's just not practical to send one drone out for each package.
I would have agreed if the story had stayed in the US boundaries, but it's not. It's gone overseas now. So it's come to the UK as a discussion group, and therefore I think it is a more serious discussion now than it ever was.
I just can't see how you can execute that.
I don't see why. I agree totally with you on that, mate. But the fact that if I was going to do that as a FUBAR story, then I would have just kept it to the U.S. boundaries.
I think it's the reason that's a story, and the reason why it's picked up is people click on it. Clicking gets the advertising that gets the money. I've been reading for years how the PC repair industry is dead. I've been reading that story for 10 years. I've been reading that tablets and smartphones are replacing the PC, and yet to every author that's ever written an article that the PC's being replaced by smartphones and tablets, I ask the authors, I personally write to every article that I read that says that, and I say, what did you write that article on? Which tablet or smartphone did you write that article on?
And they say...
They didn't write it on a piece on a tablet or a smartphone. They wrote it on a PC or on a Mac.
Yeah.
They wrote the story because they knew it would generate clicks. It's clickbait. It's not a real thing.
There's something going on with line two tonight, Gary. Do you want to jump on line four and then we'll get a decent picture of you, hopefully.
Are you sure you want that?
Yeah, I want that. Yeah, we want a decent picture of you, mate.
All right, line four, you got it.
Excellent, mate. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello.
What? Sorry, which late. Bar did you leave your money in this week?
Just open up the phone book, point at one. That's probably where it was.
Oh, man. I told you, mate, you come up with the best lies.
Oh, you know, great fun at parties.
You're awesome, buddy. I love you to bits, man. Thank you for coming on.
I love you too, man.
It's all voluntary, so if you don't want to come, you don't have to, you know. You have to start making up shitty excuses.
I love coming.
Did Jeffrey leave his stuff in a strip bar, says Bronwyn?
Hold on, he likes coming.
I could tell you, but then I'd be taking the mystery out of our relationship, now wouldn't I?
What mystery's left, mate? The mate you've shown on this show.
That's a good point.
Yeah, there's not a lot left to hide, mate. You've lifted your skirts many times. You're back with us, Carrie, and not in crapper vision. Well done, mate.
Is it working better now?
We were discussing, Jeffrey, about Bezos and whether the... Because in the UK, they're saying that they're going to use drones to deliver parcels for Amazon, which has been a story that's been around for ages in the US.
Right.
But and there's a bit of a saying, well, it's complete bull. It's never going to happen anywhere, anytime. But there's also a bit of me going, well, you'd have kept that to the US, to be honest, rather than spreading the rumour internationally.
You know... I question whether or not the drone thing is really going to happen, not because I think that we'll see government agencies blocking the use of drones for deliveries. I just think this is one of those things that logistically it's going to be really hard to make happen.
It's grossly inefficient, I would have said.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and if you're seeing a drone flying down your street, and you see an Amazon box in it.
You're going to follow it and steal it.
Right. Or, you know, hit it with a little EM pulse gun and knock it out of the sky, take the box, and away you go.
Yeah. Do EM pulse guns even exist? Because that's the second time they've been mentioned.
They do exist.
I hope they do.
They do exist.
They do exist, yeah. But they're very expensive.
I was going to say, where do you buy them then? Cause
well, you can't. They're for law enforcement use.
But there is EM pulse guns.
Yeah. Well, they're not quite that. They interfere with the control of the radio on the... I don't know exactly how they work. But
it's not an EMP then?
Well, it does kind of work like an EMP. It interferes with the control of... Once you point it at it, you can't just like point it once. You have to point it at the drone and guide it down.
Right.
Huh. That's not nearly as cool as having something that looks like a shotgun.
No, exactly.
Racking it like that and going...
It and does look like a shotgun, Jeff, but it just
drops out of the sky.
Jeff wants splinters, parts.
Yeah.
Well, you could do if you bring it down fast enough.
Yeah, but it's not good on the floor. It doesn't bounce. Not going to happen. Really don't think it's ever going to happen. Totally agree with Carrie on that one, which is...
Well, I said as an eyebrow story.
Yeah, definitely. Who's got the next story that they want to bring then?
I've got a story here.
Go on then, Carrie. Oh, wrong Carrie. There's the Carrie I'm looking for. There we go.
Let me put a link in the chat. Here we go. So Samsung has a 15 terabyte solid state drive. 15 terabytes.
Wow. Didn't you buy
$10,000.
What did you bring last time?
What did I bring?
You brought a big terabyte drive last time, didn't you?
I don't know. You know, I don't remember. Drives... You know, Seagate just introduced the 10 terabyte mechanical hard drive. And what bothers me is all of the brouhaha that's made about the capacity. And yet, you know, Backblaze, the server farm, they go through like 60,000 hard drives or something in their server farm. And they every year release the reliability reports that they've experienced. And the last 2 years, Seagate was the most unreliable. And Seagate has not addressed this reliability concern while they're boasting a 10 terabyte drive, which is, as a technician, very frightening to me that the focus is solely on capacity and not about reliability. No mention of reliability was made.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think the other problem that you get, though, as well is, I use Western Digital for an awful lot of my data storage. And, you know, it's not a touch wood thing because it's got nothing to do with luck. To this point in time, right this second, I've never had a Western Digital drive fail. And everyone goes to me, oh, you don't want Western Digital, they're constantly failing. I'm sorry, but I've got 4 8 terabyte drives that never failed and 3 6 terabyte drives that have never failed.
Yeah, but your sample size of 8 or 12 drives is nothing compared to 60,000.
Yeah, but it's like if someone goes to a restaurant and they come away and they get the shits, they say that the restaurant's crap. The fact that they went and dined with 20 other people who came away and didn't have the shits doesn't figure in their thought process. And I think it's the same with drives. you know, if you've had a drive fail on you, you go, oh, I'm never having them again. When actually, you know, the larger proportion of drives from manufacturers don't fail.
Well, again, if you were just going to buy a car and you had an experience that was less than pleasing and you said, I'm never going to buy another Ford.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's different than if you have a rental car company and you bought 15 Fords and 13 of them required an excessive amount of maintenance and it cost your company money, almost put you out of business. You won't buy those Fords again. And it doesn't matter that somebody said, well, I own a Ford. I never had a problem with it.
Yeah, no. So what you're saying is that the server farms are saying we've had an unexpectedly high failure rate in Seagates and Seagates aren't addressing it.
Right, and then this last year, so 3 years going, Seagate.
This better be
was,
a correct stat, by the way, so we don't get sued.
Oh well, I'll have a link to it. You can just do Google Backblaze hard drive report, and you'll see it from the last 3 years. So 2013, it was Seagate was the most unreliable. 2014 Seagate was. 2015 Seagate was again, and the first quarter of 2016, Western Digital is now the least reliable, more than Seagate.
Hmm.
So it's not like it's consistently Seagate for years and years and years. But if I was Seagate and I'm releasing a high-capacity drive, I would address the reliability issue. Because how do you back up a 10-terabyte drive?
With another 10-terabyte drive.
That's right. So this is a drive you need to buy in pairs. And I think that they need to emphasize that, and they don't. At least with at least my experience with the solid state drives, I'm seeing much better reliability on solid state drives. In fact, I've never encountered a bad solid state drive yet. All the ones I put into service still working today.
I've had two Kingston drives fail on me, and they were really bad, really, really poor. There were two, I'm going back a while now, but there were two half terabyte drives that I had from Amazon. Amazon were good as gold, swapped them out, no problem, but I won't buy Kingston Kingston drives anymore.
I've had
two Western Digital drives, and if you look at, I mean, I've got two MyBooks here to the right of me, and they're duplicated. They're 8-terabyte drives, and they're duplicated. They're for two customers, and all of their data is duplicated on a 2-terabyte drive that I back up every week. And all the most current stuff I stick on another drive. I don't know who's calling in. All right, it's Jeff. I put another drive and I take it home with me just for the last 4 weeks. And if you're talking about, well, there's a 15-terabyte drive here that's SSD, well, I can buy four of these drives here for £2,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I don't see that, you know, there's a bit of me going, well, that's equivalent. In fact, it's actually a terabyte beyond, and I don't see the benefit.
It may lead you to know that Western Digital is preparing to ship flash chips with a whopping half a terabit of capacity. So they're now starting to enter the foray as well.
Yeah, I mean, the SD card has gone mental as well this year, because I've got some right here in my little card wallet that I carry around with me on site. I've got four 250 gigabyte SSD cards. Little SD cards, rather, and they are phenomenal. I'm gobsmacked at how fast they are and how reliable they are.
And you can see right through them.
Yeah, they're invisible. You see, if I drop them on site, if they hadn't got a red tab on them, they'd be screwed.
You should put that right in front of your face. Look through them.
Yeah, no, they're working. They're really great. Oh, that reminds me as well. People wrote in and said, we have no idea what your earmuffs look like that you recommended last week from MTech, because they're
invisible.
Because they're green, so you'd say they go invisible, unfortunately. But luckily, I ordered them in red and green, so red for the right ear and green for the left. And there you go. There's what they look like. So that's my Bose headphones sunk in really, really nicely into the plastic, and they're perfectly molded so that they fit my ear. And MTech are the people you want to see. Get yourself a molding of your ear and send it to MTech, and MTech will embed. And the thing that's really, really nice as well is I've had them set up for monitors so that you can put them into the top and then they bend over your ears. But if you swap them over and do the opposites on left and right, then actually what you can do is set them up like a normal set of drop-down earphones. So there you go, that quick, and I turn them over the other way around. So those people that have written in and said we couldn't see them, show them us, and there you go, that's what the red one looks like. And they're 80 quid, that's it. You'd send your headphones off and they send you back a custom-made set of headphones for £80.
It's a cool thing.
Unbelievable. It's not my cool thing, no, it was my cool thing last week. My cool thing is something that you're not going to frigging steal, because I'm going to start the cool things, you thieving git muller. Not that I'm holding onto this or anything, you understand.
Well, you know, the one other thing I think we need to talk about is today is the supposedly last day you can upgrade to Windows 10 for free. I mean, that's worth mentioning, isn't it?
We've mentioned Windows 10 for no end of years, and there's weeks rather. And there's a bit of me's like, well, what did you expect? They gave you something for free, and now they're bending you over and showing you adverts, and they're updating stuff that you didn't ask for. The only thing that bothers me is the fact that they've ruined people's computers without their consent.
Well, they're being sued. There's a couple of class actions, but I'm predicting, I just want to say it here. I am predicting that today will not be the last day. I am predicting that Microsoft will come back and say, out of the kindness of our hearts, we realize that some of our customers have not yet had an opportunity to upgrade in this limited time frame. So we're going to extend the offer another 6 months or another, you watch. I'm predicting that's what's going to happen.
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing if they do that. Just to help additional people out,
it's
whatever.
Not to help, but they're not doing anything to help you. No. They promised their shareholders they would have Windows 10 installed on 1 billion devices in 3 years. They're not even a third of the way there yet. And so the shareholders are very, very disappointed, and they're demanding more from Microsoft to do more. Further, Microsoft would have to release an update that removes the Microsoft adware that pops up on Windows 7 and 8 machines. That's been a big controversy since it first appeared, that annoys you it just completely harangues you to get Windows 10. So they would have to remove that. And I don't think they're going to do that. So I think Windows 7.
I don't understand why.
Chris, just before you come back, Chris, you've got to realize that Carrie hates everyone and he loses a Razer V3. All right. Now go ahead, Windows fanboy.
I don't understand the crying about Microsoft popping up and saying, hey, we want you to upgrade to Windows 10. I mean,
It's how they did it.
I think
so. I remove viruses and adware for a living. I've done it for 20 years. I've never had to remove anything that difficult to get off a system before.
You know how you could have removed it quick, fast, in a hurry? Just upgrade to Windows 10. Been done.
I disagree.
That's kind of like somebody going, you got shot by the cops. That's why you should have did what they said to do. That's not right.
First off, I'm not losing that.
And here's the problem.
As a guy who's had guns pointed at him, it's not the same thing. And I know you're joking, but it's not the same thing.
No. It's an injustice against an unwilling participant who was backed into a corner and forced into a situation they did not ask to be put into.
Oh my God. It's like bullying.
It is what Microsoft is doing is bullying. And when we talk about bullying, I have a very short fuse for that.
Well, hang on a second, because let's not paraphrase it to black people being beaten by the U.S. cops, because it's not.
Who said anything about black people? No.
It's not even close to that. But so
who
let's
said
move,
anything about
let's
black
Let's move on.
People?
We're moving on. Okay. Is it bullying? I don't know that it's bullying. I think they did it incredibly badly. I think that they desperately wanted to be like Apple and give away their OS, not realizing that it was the fundamental core of their budgets every year.
I don't think it was any mistake. They've definitely been working hard to continue to find other avenues of making money. With their cloud services, Office 365, Azure AD. SharePoint Online, all these things. So this was not a new thing. They knew exactly what they were doing. I don't think that for one second. I think they want to get people on the Windows 10. Honestly, the fact that for so many years people complained about Microsoft, when they're like, oh, well, they charge for the OS, Linux is free, and blah, 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 blah. And now they're like, here, we want you to upgrade. Here's it is for free. And everybody's, oh, they're pushing too hard to get you to upgrade to the new OS for free. I just find this extra complaining to be a bit too much.
Let me ask you a question. I've got to disagree, though.
Go on.
Well, you know my sister, because you know my sister. She runs a business. And one day, I was setting up some new software for her. And suddenly the computer just rebooted. I didn't touch anything other than that and said, what's going on here? And then a few minutes later, we had Windows 10. And it happened at the office as well. But she said, well, that happened at the office as well. All the computers just went off, come back
was
about an hour later.
Was she using a legitimate OS?
Yeah, they were definitely. They were bought from PC World, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So they were definitely genuine. And I know the one she had in her house because I was fixing it for some other problem. And then even I was going, what the hell's happened here? And it suddenly rebooted and come back as Windows 10.
That's not okay.
It wasn't okay. And I agree. I like Windows 10. But when it does that, and remember,
you've got a paid copy of Windows 8, and now it's giving you Windows 10, whether you like it or not.
That's and it
not
shut your business down, which means your employees cannot work. You have the expense of calling a technician to undo that. You've lost an entire day of productivity.
Hold on.
Exactly. Why didn't another problem I had is that
I didn't catch that part.
Some of the software didn't work. I spent 6 hours reconfiguring her package for the wages and all that sort of stuff. It took me about 6 hours to work out how to do it.
So I think, did she have auto updates on? Because I think there's a big difference here between auto updates and auto upgrades. That's a different
thing. Well, auto updates is okay for Windows 8, which she was on.
But she got upgraded,
She got upgraded to a new OS, which is not right.
It's not updated.
I don't remember an option that automatically upgraded you without your...
Oh, my God.
No, it was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, there's a class action about that, Chris. Yeah,
yeah. I'm not saying it didn't exist. What I'm saying is, you know, I've got, you know, six computers here, and I don't remember any of them just upgrading to Windows 10. I had to interact with all of them, but... Either way.
So I can explain how it's happening. As a technician and dealing with customers, I deal with a lot of seniors. I can tell you exactly what's happening. Microsoft has abused the important update feature. So the reason they made updates automatic is people weren't applying them. And old viruses, you know, that had patched months earlier were affecting offices and people's homes. So Microsoft said, we're going to automate this. And we're only going to issue important security patches. And then they put... the Windows 10 adware as an important security patch. You didn't have a choice about it. It happened automatically. Then that became an opt-in system where if you physically did not tell Microsoft, I do not want this, you would get it. So I'm watching my wife turn her computer on, and as it's booting, this window starts to appear that doesn't normally appear, and it's that Windows 10 adware. And as the frame of the window appears, but no text is yet filled in, she's already clicking the X to close it before anything occurs. And I said, what are you doing? You're going to get Windows 10. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, you didn't even give it a chance to open. It is telling you the scheduled date, and you didn't. And I'm seeing older people do this. I'm seeing people who aren't computer literate do this. They, because Microsoft made it an opt-out instead of an opt-in, Microsoft says, well, we warned you and you agreed to it by not disagreeing to it. That's where the problem is. And the fact that it came in as an important update instead of as an optional one, so that if you went to Microsoft, Windows Update, and you just hit the update now without reading what was going to happen, you also got Windows 10 that way as well.
But my point is that the majority of people that never upgrade their systems and then just sit there and let them sit, chances are they're going to benefit from the upgrade to Windows 10. You know, certainly, you know, there are people that want to remain on Windows 7. Fine, you know, and have at it.
But you have a consumer attitude. A consumer doesn't make any money. A consumer, as far as I'm concerned, is just unnecessary. We're talking about businesses that make the planet go around, that produce content or produce manufacture things, or their lawyers or their doctors, and their whole businesses were shut down over this. Millions of dollars have been lost.
There has been suffrage.
We're not talking about grandma couldn't get on Facebook. You know, I'm not talking about that.
This, if your complaints are limited to businesses, then I have some sympathy, because that's what I deal with every day, all day.
Yep.
And a lot of these businesses are able to control their own updates. So it's probably more so the small businesses than large companies that are randomly having machines upgrade to Windows 10.
Yes, that's true.
You know, what's that?
You, what you say is true. Yes, it's mostly small businesses.
Okay. So I get it, but you know, the majority of the complaints that I'm reading and seeing out there are not based on the advocacy of small businesses. They're just individuals who are like, oh, Microsoft shouldn't be doing this and Microsoft shouldn't be doing that. And you know, to me, I just think it that part of it is a bit overblown. Certainly, I have friends that have small businesses, and any one of them, you know, they don't have, you know, on staff tech support. So if their systems upgrade and it caused them an outage because of their POS systems can't handle it, I have sympathy for that. You know, but I think the majority of complaining and the backlash that I'm seeing is not from those guys.
So, well, those people don't generally post. They're busy working. So we're talking about your typical home-based businesses such as accountants, real estate agents, One guy I know is a computer case manufacturer. His CNC machine, he went to bed one night, came in the next morning, he had Windows 10, contacted the company that makes the CNC machine and said, we can't work with Windows 10. You need to revert back to Windows 7. He lost a whole day of manufacturing. These are just stories I personally know of. And if you... You know,
and no shame for the thing. For the,
you can often find exactly what you're looking for. So if you want to find,
no shame for the software manufacturers who are lazy, don't make any effort to support newer operating systems. Well, you know how many times?
I think so. One of the things I would say at this point is that I stayed on Snow Leopard for a very long time because I had a Tascam desk that I'd bought that was £600 worth of desk, and I knew, because I was warned by Tascam, you know, this desk is obsolete, we are not upgrading it when we go to whatever the next one is after Stone Leopard. Can't remember, Lion.
Yeah, but see, but companies like that, they know what's coming. You know what I mean? Microsoft has a significant amount of programs that allow these software manufacturers who rely on running on top of Windows to interact with them and understand what's coming down the pipe. You know what I mean? So I remember when I was working on the support desk for so long, I think it was Siebel that just refused to upgrade their platform to support the newer versions of IE that came with, Windows 7.
Hang on, Chris. That's their right to do that. And it's my right for them to tell me that I'm a user and I don't have to upgrade to the new S. But
I'm not questioning a company's right to choose to upgrade or not to upgrade. I clearly, if you're your own company, but when there are people that are complaining that IE6 is super insecure and, you know, and these guys are like, well, we're not going to upgrade the software, I think you also have a responsibility to your customers to, you know, they know that these customers are going to be upgrading to new platforms, to new versions of this Windows. And I think I deal with software, it's what I do. You know what I mean? And I make a commitment to my customers that, you know, when a new version of Windows comes out, I'm going to try to get that version supported within the next two releases. That's what I do, because I know that people are upgrading.
And I understand that, and you're a good guy for doing that, but I don't think that the analogy that you've just given prior to that is what this is about. So I upgrade my system when I choose to upgrade my system, not when Microsoft does. That's the point.
Right, but then the situation that in the content that he was bringing up was like, you know, sure, again, I have sympathy for any business that suffered any type of monetary loss because I understand what these guys are going through. But at the same time, when you're looking at, you know, when you're calling support and it's like, we don't have support for the latest operating system. And in your case, they're saying we're never going to support the latest operating system. I find that to be a problem.
What about in the medical community? Do you know what informed consent is?
Sure.
Hang on, ladies. That's not.
That's totally different. So,
I love the analogy
consent
you guys
means
came
they
out with.
Cannot do anything to you without you fully understanding the pros and the cons, and that you will agree or disagree to it before the procedure.
Sure.
Microsoft did not offer any informed consent to the end user before forcing it onto many users and companies' computers without their informed consent, and that is where the trouble lies.
But I don't know that
shot. And they'd say, oh, by the way,
it's a bit of a leap, but I do get the analogy, Carrie.
Because I don't know that software companies are required to go to that extent and tell you every piece of software that may break on your operating system if you upgrade.
Here's my point.
I've never heard of
Microsoft first came out, they were a hero because IBM would charge like $10,000 for an operating system. So for Microsoft to come out and offer an operating system for, you know, $100 or whatever it was back in the early 80s, for DOS, it was a bargain. It just totally pulled the rug out from IBM. Now we've evolved past that, and Microsoft isn't the underdog, and everybody wants to hate on them. And I will praise Microsoft for many of the things that they've done, but I'm going to call them on the things they're doing that's wrong. And this aggressive opt-out process of installing Windows 10, I think what's happening is this July 29th deadline is like an expiration date on a coupon. I don't think it means anything other than they're getting a lot of free advertising from the news media and social media that, hey, you better hurry up and get that upgrade. Today, it's the last day, and it costs them nothing. A company that's got $92 billion in extra dollars sitting around to buy other companies, they just bought LinkedIn, can't pay for their own advertising. They've got to manipulate through a marketing company the psychology of the end user into tricking people.
Microsoft never gets positive press out of the media. So at this point, now all of a sudden they're the genius marketing company that knows how to manipulate the press into giving them free advertisement for one.
Working. Staff. It's working. Can't deny
that's
it.
Working.
That, yeah, but that has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with Microsoft.
Chris Ashley has delivered a fair point there. They're usually fairly shit, and they're not going to improve overnight. There is a fair point in that, Gary.
How do you then explain all of the discussion about encouraging people to get Windows 10 before the deadline? That's in the press of TV,
because
news.
Anybody, first off, anybody that reads like the current tech press, which I'm sure you do, you know, and I haven't read any of the articles that are out today, but, you know, most of the times, people are going to look at this, oh, they're not going to offer something for free anymore. So now they're gone back to being the bad company. I mean, that's usually the way those things are taken. You know, Microsoft did not go about using this as some big marketing ploy. Otherwise, if, you know, if as a company with some kind of brains, if that was the case, you'd have been hearing stuff about this every day, last day coming up, last week, last month,
that's
last 30 days.
You
know what I mean?
They didn't do that. I'm not talking tech news. I'm talking the everyday normal people news.
We need to move on.
So they're not marketing geniuses. They never have been, and they certainly are not today.
Right. Jeff, you haven't said a word, so now you've got a point. Go on.
Oh, no. My point was I needed to go get some popcorn so I could keep watching.
Carrie versus Chris.
No, there's no versus at all. I get where people who have rightfully so, especially the folks that he pointed out, you know, small business owners, man, of course, I get that, you know, but at the same time, it's just like, well, you know, they're offering the operating system for free. Typically, they used to charge folks $100-$120, and that's a problem too. Now, I just, it's like when you're like, okay, don't offer the operating system for free. Also, don't force people to upgrade. It's just like, wow, what should we just do as a company? Just sit here.
Yeah, no.
I'm just not with that.
I've got to say, I do like Windows 10.
No one in the chat room. This is the interesting thing. No one in the chat room is slagging Windows 10 off.
No,
what
it is.
They don't like the way it was done.
It's not about whether or not it's good or not.
No, but I think the problem I have with it is the fact that it messed up my sister's business, and she doesn't have a professional to go and do. She has me. So yeah,
why it took 6 hours.
Well, it did, because it messed up some of the registers.
God, I've forgotten about registers. I've been so long out of Windows, I forgot about registers.
Oh God, yeah. I'll tell you what. Once I realised what it had done, it was ever so easy to fix. Well,
I think you mean registers, not registry.
Not the registry. It's the registers way. It messed up the way it did numbers and letters and the.
I've forgotten it was registry, not registers. There you go.
And the registry was easy.
Bob Beach is saying, coming back on Carrie's healthcare comment, I hadn't realised that upgrading to Windows 10 would kill me. and Swamp Rat says, my old version of Corel Paint Shop Pro. There's only one R.
It's Corel.
Thank you.
It's not Corel.
It's Corel. Thank you, Jeff. It's Corel. Corel Paint Shop Pro starts up a bit slower than with 7, but above that, it's fine. Corel. You tight ass, Swamp Rat. That's all I can say.
That's from 1995, isn't it?
Okay, moving on. Jeff, have you got a story?
Yeah, and I'm assuming this is going to be less controversial than Windows 10, simply because I just like to think positive. Anyhow.
Why did they check my browser before they let me go to the story?
And me.
Oh, we're checking your browser just in case we don't want to see you.
Unless you're on Windows 10. Weird that Zdarsky does that, but whatever. Okay, so the gist is that it turns out if you are using WhatsApp for encrypted conversations and you delete a conversation, your assumption is that all record of that conversation is gone forever. No. But it turns out that WhatsApp is actually not deleting that conversation from your computer. It's merely flipping the flag that says this is open space on the drive. So that data is still there and potentially recoverable. And my take on this is that we as users may be a little too complacent in simply assuming that our private conversations that we are encrypting really are staying completely private.
So be clear that you're saying the desktop version of WhatsApp is where the problem is.
Right. Yeah. So the data that's being stored locally is not being deleted.
Gotcha.
Like, it's not being literally deleted. It's just being tagged as deleted.
Right. Because, I mean, if you look at Facebook, say Facebook is extremely good for keeping conversations that have been deleted, and they've trapped a number of paedophiles in the process of doing that because the paedophile has deleted the conversation, and actually Facebook have kept it and gone, here you go, law enforcement agencies, this guy needs serious looking at. This is not that. This is just a cock up in the coding.
Yeah, this is just the, well, it's more, even more specifically, it's just one of the clients aren't handling the deletion. You know, I'll give them a little pass for this because the desktop clients are relatively new. Hopefully that's something, it seems like that's something they would address pretty quickly considering, you know, all the things they went to build the security, the encryption in the first place.
Yeah, you'd think that this is something they would have considered from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because they have been so adamant about pushing the end-to-end encryption and privacy that their app offers.
Yeah, I agree with you. Except for it depends on how the desktop app was delivered, right? If the desktop app was delivered by a separate team than the mobile phone app, then probably a lot of the features and the new stuff that comes along, that team, the phone team is one concentrating on trying to implement this stuff. And a lot of times when you got these other guys, it's like, okay, well, now we're building a new UI, a new interface for you. They may be out of step. If the same team built all the clients, then that's a little bit on the shameful side. Like, come on, guys, you can't miss that.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll have this fixed in short order.
Yeah, I agree.
So now it serves as a reminder for me that just because we are using apps that claim to keep our conversations private and untrackable doesn't mean that's really the case.
Right.
So we need to be watching closer to make sure that the apps and services we're using really are giving us the privacy they claim.
So eventually, you run the risk as well, don't forget, that your end-to-end encryption is non-plus, because if the Snooper's Charter comes in the UK here and its model is then impressed across the rest of the world, any conversations that are had must be retained by the ISP for up to a year.
So right, but if it's an end-to-end encrypted conversation, all the ISP is going to have is a file full of garbage.
No, but then they'll be told that they can't pass it. So I think end-to-end encrypted conversations will just be banned then if the Snooper Charter gets in, because they can't record the storage of it.
How would they know?
That would be horrible.
How would they know?
Well, how would they know an encrypted bit of information from a Facebook post or a transmission from a game? How would they be able to discern that the data is encrypted or not encrypted until...
Because WhatsApp told them that it was definitely going to be.
Why I'm not talking just, specifically of WhatsApp. I'm talking just data. People are multitasking in their devices. At any given time, you might have 10 different things happening.
Yeah,
you
could but your ISP updates. Knows that it's passing information from the WhatsApp. It knows what
application... It knows the port. It doesn't necessarily know it's from WhatsApp.
Oh, I think it does.
Not if it's encrypted. It wouldn't be able to discern where it is, where it's from, or where it's going. It's just ones and zeros. It's indiscernible.
I don't know enough to answer that question, but I don't think it does. But
you're right. It would definitely know the port.
Right. Which you could change the default or randomize and...
Right, or you could have other things using the same port.
Yeah. And you can VPN on top of it.
I don't think that's going to stop what's going on with the stuff in the UK. I think end-to-end encryption will be outlawed in the UK.
I don't know how you can enforce that law.
They'll manage. Just again, apologies if the old iMessages is going off. This is quite interesting. So I had two iPads that were registered in my iTunes account, and I set up two separate iTunes accounts for Ellis and Briony this weekend and transferred them off. Patrice helped me do it. And
it's his fault.
No, so the Mac Minis have been set up and they've never relayed iMessages before, ever. They've been switched off completely. And since I made the change to the iPads, they've started pinging with every single iMessage that I've got. I don't know why. And the pain, it was setting it up. And so taking an existing iPad and churning it over into being another account is horrific. It is horrific. I have
Are you saying they did that without your consent?
No, I did it. But the number of times I've had to type the account passwords in for the two of them is unbelievable. And the other things as well, you swap the iCloud password over and Messages doesn't go over, FaceTime doesn't go over, they're all separate. You've got to go back in and reapply all the passwords to those and all the accounts to those. It's horrific. It's a really bad
setting
experience.
Up Messages to get it to work correctly across multiple devices. It's horrible.
It's an incredibly poor user experience.
How Apple thought it was okay to roll out a product where configuring something was that messed up.
It's dog shit. There we go. I don't know. I think this will be sorted out, but I'm not sure that in the global scheme of things whether end-to-end encryption is actually something that is going to be allowed in the end. Because
but regardless of whether or not it's going to be allowed, it's going to be here. It's one of those things that once we got a taste of it, once we knew we could have end-to-end encryption, you can't make it go away. Yeah. So you can outlaw it, and then only outlaws will have encrypted data.
Yep.
Exactly.
And ordinary law-abiding citizens will become outlaws overnight.
Good point.
Yep.
Chris, did you bring a story, mate?
I did bring a kind of fun story, I'm kind of happy with.
God.
And, CBS and Showtime have announced that they have reached 2 million internet subscribers for their stream-only service. And as a huge fan of the ability to cut the cord and find alternate methods of watching entertainment without having to pay these crazy exorbitant cable fees, I find that to be a positive. You know, the downside is, you know, these two services, you know, the CBS service is $5 a month, and you're like, you know, depending on what type of shows you like, you know, CBS has a decent lineup of television shows, but I'm not sure it's a $5 a month lineup of TV shows. But Showtime has plenty of content, but that charges, I think, was $11.99 or $10.99 or something like that. But if you did it as an add-on to Hulu, you only had to pay $8.99. So, but I think this is definitely a continued step in the right direction to see these type of services actually take off and do good for the company. So I definitely want to see more of this type of stuff.
I mean, one of the problems we've got in the US, in the UK, is that Showtime is something that we get through whoever is the channel that bids for their shows at the highest value. So typically Sky Atlantic has got Ray Donovan, and it's, I think Sci-Fi had Dexter for a while, which is one of the Showtime ones. Mm-hmm. I can't answer Jeff's line, it's just ringing. Sorry, everyone. The problem we've got, I think, is, you know, 1 million subscribers in the US is not something that translates directly to the UK, so we don't understand it in the same way necessarily. I mean, how big is Showtime? I mean, it makes fantastic programs, and it's got amazing programs that have come over to the UK eventually. But
Well, as far as this announcement goes, they said that the split is pretty even. So the 1 million to the CBS and 1 million to the Showtime online subscribers. Showtime's, you know, right after HBO. So, you know, anytime you talk HBO, you talk Showtime as far as relevancy. So it's definitely a huge thing and a huge huge network.
Yeah, we have an issue here with cable, especially here in Arizona where I'm at. The cable monopoly is Cox Communications. Mm-hmm. And apart from the rates going up every month, or not every month, but rapidly, you go to Best Buy to buy a TV, I'll give you an example, and the salesman says, yeah, this is the new 4K TV. You go, where are the 1080 TV? Oh, we don't really sell those anymore. Everything's 4K, and we also have 8K TVs. And the consumer does not know this, but Cox Cable doesn't deliver any 4K content. You're basically going to buy a 4K TV that you will have no means of displaying the benefits of that. They run a loop in the store, right, a 4K loop from the manufacturer. It looks awesome. Of course it looks great. But to get that 4K, you're going to have to do Netflix. You're going to have to do some streaming, or you'll have to do with satellite TV like Dish Network or DirecTV. The other thing, the other stunt that Cox Cable just pulled is they said, we're going all digital. Right. I said, who cares? You know, I have a digital TV. What do I care? Well, what they really meant to say was we're going DRM. So if you just take the Cox cable that comes out of the street and you plug it into the back of your TV, you get a bunch of channels. I mean, you get Home and Garden TV, you get Sci-Fi, you get Comedy Network. Now it says these channels that you're trying to watch have been converted to digital, and contact us for a special digital box if you want to continue to watch these channels.
Or our cable card. I actually went through that same exact pain when I initially cut my cord, because where I live, I can't get the over-the-air channels. And just like you mentioned in the past, you were able to just take the cable cord, plug it in, because by law, local channels had to be broadcast unencrypted. And somehow these cable companies were able to put a motion and have the law change for the sake of security, that they are now allowed to encrypt those local channels. And I say somehow, when clearly it was money. But
in my case, the local channels still work. But all the upper channels, everything above 15, is not everything, but a lot of it that was available is no longer. And they want you to me, it's a step backwards. They want you to spend $8 or whatever it is a month on a little decryptor box.
Right.
That they're not honestly calling. Again, it's deception. They're not calling it a decryptor. They're saying it's digital. You have to pay for the electricity, which is another $10 or $15 a year for that box. You have another cable and another plug that nobody wants. They have enough cables and plugs. Now we're adding another one just to watch what you've already been watching. It's just more pushing people to go to streaming the internet. And the irony in it is that Cox provides the internet service, so they're undermining themselves.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a sad state. And, you know, in all fairness, the cable company may be forced by TBS and these other stations to force them to restrict, because Cox, as I understand, they pay a fee to each, you know, Comedy Central or to Viacom, whoever the owner of those channels are, based on the number of customers they have. And I think they need to assure that the number that of customers they have is exactly what they're paying, and they're not paying less than they should be to the network. So they might have their hand forced in this. I don't know. But definitely streaming is the way to go. And when I looked it up, you can go to, here in the U.S. anyway, sling.com, and you can get all these channels for like $8 a month, all streamed through Amazon Fire TV.
Yeah, we're at the back end. When it comes to US TV shows, we're probably no worse off than you are for UK TV shows. So it's not the end of the world. But we tend to get our stuff given to us when the people who buy it want us to have it. So we can't subscribe to that guy. And I think as well, I think HBO Now, I mean, I'm gobsmacked why HBO Now is not released as an app on this side of the pond. Because it would get instant subscribers with the popularity of Game of Thrones. But I'm also guessing that they make more money from the money that they get from Sky for exclusivity on Game of Thrones.
Well, they call HBO Go here, and they were just talking about that they weren't competing with Netflix, that they're their own thing, and that they were growing, and it's an important market for them. But I will say that you guys in the UK are a bit spoiled. I think some of my favorite TV shows that you guys get for free, I would gladly pay money for, like Game of Thrones. Peaky Blinders is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen on television. Well, and it's on free television. I mean, it's just taxpayer television.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch it, you get it free of charge. If you don't watch it in time on iTunes, you have to pay for it through iTunes, or you have to buy the DVD from or the Blu-ray from BBC. But
you guys get Peaky Blinders as a regular TV show?
Peaky Blinders is out on BBC Two, and if you watch it when it's due out, you get it free of charge. And if you watch it when it's on iPlayer, which you've got free access to in the UK, then it's free of charge. If it drops off of iPlayer and before Netflix picks up the new series, then you'd have to pay for it if you wanted to watch it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that show.
Yeah, yeah. But Peaky Blinders is brilliant. And Ripper Street was another one that was just unbelievable. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Awesome. And that's, I think that's coming back. That's, I think there's a new series planned for that.
I never heard of that. Is that Amazon, something recent?
Well, oh, Ripper Amazon Street. Amazon have picked up all four series, and they were on, I think the first two seasons were on Netflix as well. But look at Ripper Street. It is brilliant, mate. Absolutely stunning TV.
BBC get about 3 months afterwards. Don't
yeah, McFadden's in it, and he's awesome in it as the main inspector. And then there's Jerome Flynn in it, who's brilliant as well. Oh,
yeah. Was Luther a regular TV show as well?
Luther as well, yeah, with old what's his face?
Idris Elba. Come on, don't disrespect the genius that is Idris Elba.
I just forgot his name, Jesus. I was watching him last night. No, the reason I disrespected him slightly is because I was watching him being the buffalo last night in Zootropolis.
He's a big guy, you know. I met him.
I didn't get that though. I didn't. Why is it? Why is a buffalo? And B, why has he got a British accent if he's a buffalo in an American Zootropolis? Didn't get that.
That's a good question.
Didn't get that. Totally wrong. Because he does a decent American accent as well. It's not like he's got a crap American accent and they have to cover it up. So it's.
And wasn't he awesome in Thor?
He is. I like him in Thor. I like him in Thor, yeah.
You want to see where he does his best work? Check out the HBO series The Wire.
Yes. Yeah, The Wire was stunning.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's a good actor. But... but no, there's loads of stuff that we get on the BBC. Yes, it's good, but it's bought stuff. I think that's the thing to remember is that the BBC buys that stuff in as a series, just like everyone else does, and then pumps it out. And we get it free because it's the BBC, because of the charter and that kind of stuff. But I think that's going to go soon.
But I'm saying my point was BBC is making their own original content that I think is on par in quality and production quality of HBO and Showtime.
No, they're not making their own original content.
Top Gear?
Top Gear is not a it's a BBC licensed show, but it's made by third-party firms for them. There's no original content. The BBC doesn't even own any studios anymore for making that kind of stuff.
I didn't know that.
Oh, so the whole of I used to do loads of work down at the BBC, and I used to be on a weekly basis for a period of time for about 3 years. I was down at White City at Shepherd's Bush, and that building's gone now, and there was massive studios in there. Was seven massive studios around the bottom end of it, and you were talking about the shows where Blue Peter was filmed and Swap Shop and those kind of things, and those were absolute BBC productions, totally. And then the studio space for it, but that whole building's closed down now. It's gone. So.
Top of the Pops, all that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. I think BBC content, BBC fund it, don't get me wrong, but third party firms make it. You know, the kind of likes of Blast Films and that kind of stuff. They get commissions to make stuff.
Everything's outsourced.
Here we go. QI is aired by the BBC exclusively, but it's produced by Fremantle Media, which is what it's been sold on to Dave, isn't it?
Owned by, what's his name, the one who has the...
Bronwyn says, for the longest time she thought Hugh Laurie from House was an American.
Yeah, I did too.
And that was despite the fact that his accent was shit in season one. It was awful.
I just watched all of them.
It was awful.
You know, I always thought it was weird watching the guy from Blackadder be a doctor.
Yes. Yeah, true. It was Blackadder, of course, yes. George.
He played George, yeah.
George, who was always the thickhead.
He played a lot of characters. Over the series.
Whatever you do, George, don't let him shag you.
He was Prince Regent.
He was Prince Regent, and then he was George sorry about this, guys.
He was the lieutenant in the First World War.
Yeah, they had a show with Mark Addy in it, and I thought he played a Chicago dad, and I was completely convinced until I heard a British accent. I couldn't figure out, was he faking the British accent, or was he faking the American one?
Yeah.
He's from Sheffield.
Yeah, he is. Full Monty. A bit of Fry and Laurie, that's what you've got to watch, absolutely.
Oh, no, the latest bits of it, the first bit was crap.
That would be good. Martin, have you got a story for us?
I have. It's a bit of No, it's a bit off the wall. It's about, because of the power of GPS, they're now going to have to move Australia.
Go.
Because
that's no small. It's the size of the USA. So go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, no, it has to be moved. Apparently, it's moving at 7 centimeters a year north. So they're going to have to change all the latitude and longitude places because GPS is still in the same place. But Australia is actually moving because of the tectonic plates. But it's moving faster than most. It's moving faster than GPS can keep up with.
Well, isn't the North Pole moving, though, as well? It's in Russia at the moment, isn't it? And it moves something like 23 feet a year or 23 metres a year or something, or 23 miles a year. It's
yeah, the physical
amount.
North. You've got the
magnetic north.
You've got the magnetic north that stays where it is, hopefully. Otherwise, we're all...
No, the geographical north moves.
It's
but
shifting,
the magnetic
yeah.
north moves well, 23 miles a year or something.
Yeah, most of us move around. That's the whole point of it. But Australia, being Australia, has to do it faster and quicker than everyone else. And it's now... People are now finding that their GPS, when they think they're somewhere, they're not there.
Yeah, but so my GPS has never been right, mate. I've never had a GPS when I actually was supposed to turn
well, now you know
gets
why.
It right. Is that what it is? Is Birmingham linked to Australia then?
Clearly.
I see Americans turn it off.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if there's people, if there's place, based on the amount of theft in Birmingham, there's places that move more than 7 centimetres in a year.
Yeah, but the one thing we will be saying is if we all keep on this trans-global movement, the GPS itself will have to be realigned.
What about GLONASS?
Sorry?
What about GLONASS and Galileo?
Well, Galileo won't be affected. Because that's the
European, brilliant.
that works on a slightly different tracking system.
Exactly, so the American stuff's rubbish.
Well, okay, well,
but
I'll have to tell
GPS
that to my TomTom.
By the US Navy.
No, it's not. GLONASS is Russian, and Galileo is European Union.
Galileo's not fully operational yet. They've got to put, how many, I don't know how many satellites, they put a load up, but they need... Yeah, but they're well on the way to building Galileo, which the Americans didn't want us to build.
Well, no, because they wanted to sell us theirs.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, we had GLONASS, because if you had a Samsung Android phone from a few years ago, it had American GPS and it had GLONASS. So you had a very accurate position on the planet.
You were still lost whichever one you use. You're still ending up
the
wrong
situation. Have we got a date for this transfer over? Because if Australia's moving 7 centimetres per year, then I've got no GPS that's accurate to 7 centimetres.
Well,
so
Philippines is stuff, so Kyle better watch
it. Knocking on the door, yeah. It's just that the power of GPS has become so great that now... You know, the physical, old-fashioned physical longitude and latitude that we used to rely on has now got to be altered. So navigating methods that go back to the 17th century are now going to have to be brought up in line.
Well, I reckon we do a complete polarisation swap, don't they?
Yeah, that's due.
Yeah, last one was 10,000 years ago, and there's evidence of 10,000-year cycles of polarisation change.
It's three times overdue. Three times. I posted a link on the... did you read it?
Is it a tinfoil thing or is it real?
No, I actually posted about...
I posted on the Slack room. Apparently it's well overdue and it's been predicted it'll be the end of the world.
Yeah, and they're also talking about catastrophic meteor strike being overdue as well. So, and also the caldera underneath Yellowstone going up as well. Jeffrey's screwed.
Hasn't the flipping started anyway? Because there's a hole over Argentina or something, and it's causing problems down there.
Jeffrey's going to find lava bubbling up through his bog when he goes round there.
That's normal.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on the caldera recently, just because I needed something dark
to sleep
and grim. Yeah, I was clearly getting too much sleep, and it looks like when the caldera blows, that where I am will not be destroyed, although we may wish it had been.
Yeah, you'll go in the fallout.
We're going to get hit with literal tons of ash, and it's going to be an ugly mess.
So was that a discussion topic then, Martin? Or?
Well, it was. I thought we might open out into that. And
it was an interesting statement of fact, but I'm not sure.
It was. Well, it was my short-term attempt trying to get a story after being thrown at me.
Yes, stop Australia moving.
Wow, you know what? You guys just blew my mind. I had no idea that the chubby dude from A Knight's Tale was Robert Baratheon from Game of Thrones. I had no idea.
Are we one story on?
I had to bring it back because I'm sitting here looking up an IMDb and I'm just absolutely floored that that dude that I really love, that chubby friendly guy, was the man.
That's a talented actor. God,
I'm completely blown away.
He does a decent advert for Asda as well. Wait till you find out the black guy from Supergirl is in Birmingham.
No, from Birmingham.
From Birmingham.
He's a Brummie.
Oh, I don't watch Supergirl. I have no desire to see that. Look, I got to get out of here. Got to go grab my little baby girl.
Where can we get you, Chris?
Look, you can always find me on the SMR podcast. That's smrpodcast.com. Or you can also find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. My pick for this week is the Bose Quiet Comfort 35 wireless headphones. Oh, my God. Are these things awesome? They're expensive. Jeff, don't close your ears for a second. I don't want you spending any more money. But these things is very light. They sound great. The noise cancellation on them are first class, like you always expect with the Bose headsets. Not a fan of their speakers, but their headsets are good. They don't get as loud as I would typically like my headsets, but that's going to be fine for most people.
You put a link in the chat room with Prime on it. You're never coming back, Chris.
No, there's no Prime on there.
£289.95. I'm already out of pocket tonight, thanks to Adam.
But, hey, I bought them because I knew when I was traveling this week, and sure enough, I like to sit in the back, but a lot of times there's a lot more engine noise back there. Man, put those things on, pop that switch, boom, silence. Kids crying, gone, silence. And it comes with the cable that you can plug into the headset into your phone, so you can just turn on the noise cancellation, but you don't have to waste the battery with the Bluetooth. But the battery life on this thing, 20 hours, and I used it and this whole trip, never charged it one time, and I was gone for 3 days. I'm telling you, this thing is off the chains.
Just to be clear, they're over ear, most definitely.
Over the ear, but I prefer over the ear. I'm not an in-ear guy. I get a lot of ear infections. Over the ear for me was what I prefer. But yeah, they're definitely over the ear. So for me this week, Bose Quiet Comfort 35s. Hey, thanks for having me back on the show. I really appreciate it.
No, well, if you're on every time, mate. Bronwyn says, holy shit, Big Chris Ashley Ewan, I literally just had a pair of these. I could have sent them over to you, Ewan. Well, that's no use.
$349 at Amazon in the US.
Oh, wow. You guys, the exchange rate's shit here at the moment, and you're getting bent over.
Yeah, they're expensive. I paid a grip for them, but they are worth it, though, in my opinion.
All right, fair enough.
Hey, guys, have a great evening.
Take care, brother. See you soon,
see
man.
See everybody. Cool. Good talking to you, Chris.
We'll replace Chris with a logo, as is traditional. Couldn't remember his name. He's from Brooklyn. We'll take that opportunity, I think, because we're not going to discuss any more about the movement of Australia. to say, this podcast knowledge is brought to you by UK2 and Hoya. UK2 supporters like you wouldn't believe. We've been with them for 10 years next year. How amazing is that? They've been supporting this rubbish for 10 whole years. If you want anything to web, domain names, hosting, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, shared servers, anything like that, then check them out and see what they've got for you. There's a whole pile of offer codes on BritishTentNetwork.com/sponsors. And if you want to sign into your account, even if you're already a customer and you want to sign in, then just go to BritishTentNetwork.com/UK2. And if you're thinking, oh, well, it's all very well and good them giving offer codes for new customers, but I'm a regular customer and I don't get nothing. Not true. If you go and ring through, apologies again for that. If you ring and go through, then you will get, if you have a word and just say, I'm part of British Tech Network, we've got an offer code, it's not applying it. They go, oh, okay, fair enough. And you will get your offer code applied. And thanks to Hoya, they gave us one of the Mac Minis for the Skype wall. The Mac Mini fund is still going on, by the way. We still need one more Mac Mini, and we're only a very small amount of the way up it. So if you can actually do that, then that would be great. And keep supporting us with that. But Hoya are great. They've got some good stuff coming up. They've got some amazing things already. If you want the Avantech lenses, then Martin's wearing them. I'm wearing them. Muller's got a pair on the way. They're absolutely superb. Mark said, walk up to your opticians, your local opticians, and look in the door and go, excuse me, have you got Hoya lenses? And if they go, no, we haven't, you go, oh, that's a shame, and walk away. That's all you've got to do. If you're a BTN Army fan, go and do that. But Mark did say to me last night, he can't tell me anymore because he's got a non-disclosure agreement on it, there's some really seriously cool stuff coming from Hoya in the next few weeks. So watch this space.
My glasses.
Right. cool things. Start us off, Cary Holtzman, with your...
Oh, I was afraid you were going to start with me. I'm trying to find the darn link.
Well, let's start
your cool things Windows 10, isn't it?
You read me like a book. Actually, my thing's kind of geeky. StarTech has a new hard disk duplicator piece of hardware that not only enables you to clone one drive to another, but also to create images if you're putting out a lot of machines with the in a corporate environment with a certain configuration. And it also, you can tell it to skip bad sectors. So if you have a drive that's failing, but it still spins up, it will basically do data recovery for you in that particular circumstance. And it runs, I want to say it's about under $300 here in the U.S. It's a new model. The previous model I reviewed on my YouTube page, and I was very disappointed with it. And everything I'm reading about this one, it was brought to my attention from other technicians that are just swearing by it. And I'm just struggling right now trying to find the link for it.
Still not got it?
Nope. No, it's... I'll have to provide you the link here in a minute.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Jeff, what have you got for us?
I have something that's not going to cost you a lot of money. Like $35 is all it's going to cost. And this is the light blue bean. I have to get it out of this little box here. Here we go. That's it. So this, on the back side, there's a little battery. And it's a little circuit board that... There we go. See if that helps with the focus.
Yeah, that's good.
There we go. Okay, so you can see on one side there's a little chip, and then on the other side there's just a bunch of little pinpoints. And what this is a little programmable circuit board. It's an Arduino that's been put into something that's like super tiny. And it has an accelerometer built into it. It has an RGB LED. It uses Bluetooth, so you can program it wirelessly. And you can set it up as an iBeacon. And with all these little points right there, you can add on other components to it and turn it into whatever it is that you want it to be. So it's this really cool programmable widget thing that you can use for some utility that you want to custom set up, or you could use it as an educational thing and teach kids or whoever some really neat programming basics with something that only costs $35. Ooh. and you could even go so far as to add other components to it on the breadboard side of the little circuit. Only $35.
Very good, mate. I like that. That's good. So it's kind of Raspberry Pi-esque.
Yeah, it's Raspberry Pi-esque, but instead of being the whole computer where you're doing all of the full-on computer stuff with it, this is like the sensor platform for doing other things. And I haven't figured out yet how I want to play with the accelerometer part, but you can bet I'm going to come up with some application that takes advantage of that. And maybe I'll attach it to Nightshade and see how much acceleration I get off of her when she jumps on things. I don't know.
Oh, easy.
I'll attach it to her collar, so she'll be okay.
Very good, mate. Very good. Have you got a cool thing for us, Muller Martin?
You go first. I've put a link in mine.
All right, you put a link in the chat room.
Yep.
It's Amazon products.
Oh, yeah, and it's on Prime, sorry.
Again, and Prime, and free.
And it's an Anker battery.
That starts your car?
Yeah, it starts my motorbike, and your car.
Oh, I thought those were nipple clips.
Yes. What did he say?
He thought they were nipple clips.
Well, he could probably do that as well.
So this is an Anker USB charger, but there's enough in it to kickstart your bike.
Yeah, I've started my mate's van with it.
Jesus.
And it was quite a big van as well, a diesel one. I must admit the lid's got a bit warm, but it did do it. But I've had a few problems with my bike running out of electricity, so it's 60 quid, but it's better than recovery.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's quite small as well. It's only, I didn't bring it today, but it's only about as big as my hand. Okay, my hand's 6 foot long, but...
No. I've got one of these at 23 milliamp hours, and it's 23,000 milliamp hours. And it's only about the size of my palm.
It's only 10,000 milliamp hours, but it delivers 200 amps. So it's quite a punch.
It's good, yeah.
And I brought it to the bash, so people have seen it, and it's quite robustly built.
Okay, my cool
Did
thing.
Did you see it?
I saw it at the bash. Yeah, no, it's a small paperback, isn't it?
Well, it's
yeah, that sort of stuff. but real punch to it. I wouldn't want to wire put the wires in the wrong way. Get your phone.
Put on your nipples.
No, not at all.
Come on, then, Martin.
Right, my cool thing, and you're going to put the link in for me, is I came across a game this week called Cards Against Humanity. I played it last weekend. Right, I went and bought it on Amazon Prime, 20 quid. Absolutely brilliant. Extremely rude. Very inappropriate, but so funny. Oh, come on, it depends on the combinations, doesn't it? What's in your mind? But it was really, really fun. And if you've got a group of people, you can have a lot of good evening with it. Yeah, so. Well recommended on Amazon Prime, 20 quid.
So Ewan, here's my Cards Against Humanity story for you.
I was at
a conference a couple years ago, and Alison Sheridan was there, and Kelly Gumont and Adam Christensen. There was a bunch of us there. We're all playing Cards Against Humanity, and one of the cards that I played was Bukkake. And Allison had no idea what I was talking about. So I proceeded to explain in very clear terms, along with Kelly Gamont's help, of course, to Allison Sheridan what Bukkake means. And Allison was so appalled, she did not believe us.
Okay, I don't know.
So it's a learning game.
I'm not surprised
so
at
it's
that
a learning
myself,
game.
But yeah, it's a learning game. Yeah, there we go.
There must be two versions then, because there's cards in our version.
No, that was in the pack, but I'm glad it didn't come out when Ellis was playing with us.
Well, there was cards in our version that certainly wouldn't have been in the American
version. Ellis thoroughly enjoyed the fact that Cheeky Bum 6 came out while he was playing. my cool thing is captionbot.ai. I can't say that I've got this from Amber MacArthur on Twitter. And basically, you put a photo in, and it tries to tell you what's going on in the photo. And you put in anything you like. So I put this one in of Ellis in, and it's Ellis looking into another cool thing that I'm going to pick next week, probably. And it says, I'm not really confident, but I think it's a little boy wearing a hat, and he seems to be smiling or grinning. Yeah? Cheesy grin. And that's not bad, actually, because that's kind of what he's doing. And then there's a picture of my little girl, Bryony, doing it. And she says, I'm not really confident, but I think it's a woman holding a cell phone, which is not the case. She's just got her hair down one side of her face. So that's okay. I kind of understand that. Until I put in a picture that I found on the web that was a group of chickens next to a hen house. And it says, I'm not really confident, but I think this is a herd of sheep standing next to a bird. And I've got to say, I've used it for about 20 minutes this afternoon. And I belly laughed at everything that it said.
It has a little self-esteem issue, doesn't it?
It's actually shit. Oh, I mean, it's no value whatsoever. And it does ask you for a ranking when you get to the end of it. Shut up, I'm talking here. It does ask you for a ranking at the end of it to see how well it did.
Are you in ranking?
Did you spend how well it did? So it's obviously in the learning process, but actually at the moment it's crap. But it's hilariously crap.
I just wonder how that can be used in the real world.
Well, I think they're probably doing it as a research project. It's part of Microsoft Cognitive Services, so I'm guessing they're using it as a public beta to then try and improve their algorithm to show translations of sensations in faces. And maybe, actually, that might be good for people who are blind or something like that. You shut up! I had trouble with you last week. You'll be going home in a minute. whether they could do something for people with blind problems so that they can show pictures to them and tell them what the faces are and things like that, and it'll recognise it automatically. So, I hope it's a higher purpose, because otherwise it's just crap. But it's great fun. It's given me low end of laughter this afternoon. Cognitive captionbot.ai. There we go.
Jeff, I just learned what backwards Picari is as well. That's not...
What?
Well done, sir. now look up reverse cowgirl.
Oh, I know what that is.
Give over the Perry. Christ, I've had some dickhead this weekend saying about the fact that I let my children listen to the show when someone picks sex toys. And I'm like,
well, there's no children
not even
in it.
Close.
Who would have ever... done that?
No, don't fuel this crazy shit, because my parents have never, my children have never been here when you've been on, Jeffrey, and you've picked a sex toy. I would never allow that, for Christ's sake.
No, of course not.
Just some dickhead. Where can we get a hold of you, Carrie?
Well, you can check out all my latest YouTube videos and builds and reviews over at carrieholzman.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I am hanging out over at macobserver.com and on the TMO Daily Observations podcast, Apple Context Machine podcast. I'm at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I write about the stupid and weird things people do at coffee shops, and Jay Gamut on Twitter.
Excellent, mate. Chris Ashley, you can get him at Big Chris Ashley on Twitter and all the other places in the SMR podcast as well. Muller, where are you, sir?
Muller Biker on Twitter. And on the BTN Slack room, and I don't whore myself around like some people.
No, because no one's love you. If you want to get in the Slack room, then all you got to do is send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com saying little pig, let me in, and we will let you in. We'll send you an email invitation. The bash has gone. It was last weekend, but the good news is, because we moved it forward to the 1st of July next year, it's nearly 11 months now to the next bash. That's awesome. We knocked a month off. Awesome. If you want to come to next year's bash, tickets will go on sale on the 1st of August at the Travel Lodge. And we're going to start doing an early bird ticket as well, because we need people to register early for the bash, because we need to know numbers. So we'll let you know more about that on the next show, perhaps.
What are the dates for the bash?
1st of July next year, and I've also booked ticket. I've also booked the bash, the venue.
Oh, there we go. I've got it on my calendar now.
For the next 5 years, the dates are already in there in the Slack room. So there we go. Martin, where can we get a hold of you, mate? I hadn't forgotten about you. I just wanted to slot in a bit about the bash while someone was talking about something.
That's fine. You'll find me as Magic Man on the Slack room, and communications at lmug.org.uk.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Friday as normal with all the shows. Max Show at 7 p.m. and Big Show at 9 p.m. Come along and join in live. It's way more fun. Thanks for listening. What do you mean it can be? Tosser.